Next up is Will Navison with the series finale of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Day one. His hands were shaking as fast as a vibrating object. He tried to hold his hands together, but the sweat from his skin made them slip apart. He instead clasped them together behind his neck, breathing hard. This was all his fault. For the first time in his life, he knew this was all his fault. He looked up to the ceiling from where he was sitting and said,
God, why did you do this to me? What was so wrong with me that you had to go and make it my fault anyways? I mean, you didn't have to send Carlton to my locker and pick up the pills that he thought was vitamin E. Why me? Why Carlton?
He looked at Carlton's body. Sweat dripped down his cold cheeks and his eyelids twitched every minute. Other than that, he did not move an inch. The veins in his arms and neck were purple, protruding slightly. As Will touched his cousin's hand, he felt something similar to cold stone. The eerie beeping sound from his monitor imposed upon Will the seriousness of what he had done. Indirectly, he had led his own cousin to an early death because he took the speed that he thought was vitamin E.
This was not supposed to happen, thought Will sadly as he squeezed Carlton's dead hand. He was supposed to be at his prom now with his friends standing by him and all the ladies looking after him. His cousin was supposed to stand by his side all night as the butt of height jokes and his longtime supporter and friend. It was not supposed to happen like this. How was he going to tell Uncle Phil and Aunt Vivian? They would be so hurt and angry, too. They would probably kick him out of the house. He would have deserved it. He was no longer sure if he should be able to live such a lavish lifestyle with such wonderful people, the parents of the son he murdered. The nurse came into the room sadly.
It's time for you to go, she said. It's getting late.
I'm staying right here, said Will hoarsely but with defiance. She hung her head and turned to go.
Miss?
She turned around.
Is he going to be okay? What happened to him?
Her next words rang in his mind for years to come.
He had an overdose. An overdose can cause something like death, but worse. The seizures, the heart problems. I didn't know how he did it.
What? Said Will, feeling a knot in his stomach.
Survived it. His heart is still beating, but not without help. And his breathing is the same too, I guess. But it's shallow breathing. And he won't be able to hold on much longer without vital medical help.
What are you saying? Will snapped, standing up. What's wrong with Carlton?
The nurse shuddered slightly at his reaction and at the disgust of it all. He's in a coma.
The words came crashing down all around Will's big ears and a roaring sound replaced it. He felt nauseous. He held the posts of his bed to steady himself.
When we pumped the speed out of his body, we seemed to have drained something else out of him. Blood or something, which made him weak enough to slip into this deep sleep. And we're really unsure whether or not he'll wake up. I'm so sorry, Mr. Smith.
And all Will could think of as he slid into the darkness was,
No, please, no.
Author's note. I'm sure Will seems a little out of character, but even crazy funny dudes like him have to have a sensitive side, right?
Day 2. The sunlight pierced through his closed eyelids, awakening him from a deep slumber. He scrunched up his face in dissent. He wanted to go back to sleep. But the sunlight continued to reach him, and so then, slowly, he opened his eyes. At first, all he could see was the sky and sun. He blinked excessively, adjusting to the light of daytime. He looked around. He lay in a hospital bed in a small, dingy hospital room. All the memories came rushing back to him, and he tried to jump out of bed. But his body was still limp and heavy from sleep. Here he was, perfectly fine, but in a hospital bed. While somewhere out there, his cousin was all alone.
Alone?
Not alone! For as Will twisted his torso around to see what else he could do with his body, not only did he recognize a faint beeping sound, but Carlton lay in another bed, the same as before. Will heard the air rushing past his eardrums.
Carlton, he breathed, trembling with unshed tears. Carlton! Whatever had he done to deserve this? Now his cousin could die because of him. He was way too young to live with himself after this. He'd probably commit... No, Will. You will not commit suicide, said a strong voice in his head. You will not have to commit suicide because your cousin is going to live. Do you hear me? He is going to survive! He needed to talk to somebody, and fast. He checked the clock next to him. 10 a.m. in the morning. No doubt Uncle Phil and Aunt Vivian heard what was going on. They were coming through that door any minute now. The doors banged open. There they were, worn out and worried. Will, Uncle Phil said until he noticed that Will was pale and sickly.
Honey, what happened? Said Aunt Vivian.
She walked over to his side of the bed and tried to put her arms around him, but she moved away, shaking his head sadly.
I'm... He swallowed the lump in his throat. I'm moving out, Aunt Viv.
What? Said Philip, outraged. Will stared at Uncle Phil with a vacant expression.
You heard me, he said evenly. I said I'm moving out, Uncle Phil. It's the best for all of us.
Where are you going to live? How are you going to pay for food and clothes? What are you going to do?
Uncle Phil was stumbling over his own words. It couldn't be true. How the hell was Will Smith going to leave this house if he had no allowance? Without that, he had no future.
It must be the shock of what happened last night, Philip. He doesn't mean it, said Vivian, rubbing Will's arm gently.
No, Aunt Viv, said Will calmly. I've made up my mind.
What?
Said Aunt Viv.
Look, this is too much for me right now, and I need to get out and find out what is most important to me.
Now they were really getting panicked. If Will had made his choice...
Wait a minute, Will, said Uncle Phil frantically. Now, if you're planning to leave our home, that's fine, but at least stay in the pool house. Then no one will bother you.
Will was silent for a moment. Then he said, Maybe you can move some of my stuff there. But I'm telling you, I'm moving out and moving into this hospital until Carlton's awake.
Aunt Vivian looked desperately at Phil, who bit his lip in frustration. In the back of his mind, he knew that nothing he or Aunt Vivian said would change this man's mind. Taking deep, calming breaths, Phil said,
All right, son. But please, make sure that this is a decision you're willing to go through with, that you're completely sure of.
Will's dull eyes pierced through Uncle Phil's, right to his heart.
Yes, I'm sure.
Phil bowed his head in resignation.
Fine, he sighed. I'll give you 3 days in order for you to change your mind.
No need to, Phil, said Will, gesturing towards the door. I made my decision. He wanted them to go. They obliged. The moment they were gone, Will turned over to look at Carlton, who still wasn't awake.
Lord, if you kill him, I'm going after and taking you with me.
Author's note. I hope you're enjoying this. Shorter chapters means more suspense, right?
Oh, another cliffhanger.
Ah, Dylan, why did you choose stories that had more than one chapter?
Because these stories were too win to leave out. Plus, I didn't really feel like... I mean, I think you get the gist. I don't think anybody would want to sit through any more of that. Will, you have a win narrator voice as well.
You're generally win for acting in general.
The more I hear you, and the more I like you.
You have a very pleasant voice.
You really do. I think the heart monitor noise maybe after a little while was kind of distracting.
Yeah.
It maybe wasn't a great choice, but that's like more of a mixing thing. Mm-hmm. I like the sense of urgency you had in this, though, considering the ridiculousness of the story. I thought you did a good job at sounding like it was like this intense thing, which I guess it was, but it's just so silly. I like that, what? When you read Will's what?
Okay, I gotta say this about your... Something I thought that was, like, really freaking fantastic when you were reading is that every now and then the author would put some weird word in, like, and it would break up the flow. So what you did was you took that word, said it, like you were going in one direction, but then you would change it. But, like, it's not actually written that, you know, the thought pattern changed in here. Like, there's no dash, there's no comma, there's no dot 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 on any of those words that you did that on. And it made it seem more natural. I don't know if any of that made sense, but it made perfect sense to me.
He held the post of his bed to steady himself was supposed to be he held the post of the bed to steady himself. So you full of that. Your Uncle Phil voice is really funny to me.
Yeah.
Other than that one flub, like, I didn't have any problems with it. I really I enjoyed this. This story kind of would have been easy to make not that interesting.
Right.
But you did a good job. You did a good job of, like, I guess it was like the way that you were so, like, you sounded so into the story.
Yeah.
You did a good job of keeping it fairly interesting, so kudos. Actor Man is up next with a Hairspray Christmas special. If you're feeling cold for the holidays, this'll warm you up.
Author's note. I was challenged to write a story by Hippogriff Tamer. I would like to thank her for the challenge and for being my beta. I would also like to wish everybody happy holidays.
Eighteen-year-old Tracy Turnblad woke up more excited than usual on Christmas morning, 2005. For one reason, Christmas was by far her favorite holiday. Another reason was because it was her first Christmas with her boyfriend of 7 months, Link Larkin. And last, because today was the day she was going to give Link the most precious gift a woman can give. She had been looking forward to it since the day she became his girlfriend. And after suffering through the humiliation of sitting on Santa's lap so that Link could get a picture, she deserved it. She got out of bed and headed downstairs for breakfast. After that, she did Christmas with her parents and put on her Santa suit because she wanted to surprise Link. She then put all of her gifts to Link and a plate of cookies that she had made the night before into a bag, then drove the short distance to Link's house. When she got there, she rang the doorbell.
Coming.
Link opened the door.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
You too, Santa. Tracy kisses Link. Santa, you're an amazing kisser, but I have a girlfriend and I love her to death. Tracy takes off her beard.
I know.
I should have known. Merry Christmas, cutie.
You too, handsome.
They began heavily making out. After they pulled away, Tracy took the things out of her bag. Well, what do we have here?
A plate of my special Christmas cookies I baked last night.
I can't wait to taste them.
You'll love them.
Would you like anything to drink before we do stockings?
A hot chocolate, please.
Would you like marshmallows and whipped cream in it?
Mmm, please.
All right. Link exits. B.B. Larkin enters.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Larkin. You too, Tracy.
Link re-enters. Here you go, beautiful.
Thanks, Linky.
You're welcome. Want to open your stocking first?
All right.
Tracy dumps her stocking out and opens her stuffed dog.
Oh, he's so cute.
Glad you like him.
Why, I love him.
She French kisses Link and continues with her stocking, which also contains hairspray, a gift certificate to her favorite restaurant, chocolates, and her favorite perfume.
Your turn.
Link dumps out his stocking and opens the condoms. Oh, I really needed these.
I know.
Link returns to his stocking. His also includes hairspray, his favorite cologne, a gift certificate to his favorite clothing store, and chocolates. How about we eat those cookies?
All right.
They head towards the kitchen. Along the way, Tracy looks up and sees that they are standing under the mistletoe.
Linky, look where we are standing.
Link looks up and kisses Tracy. She kisses him back, starting a smooch session.
After a few minutes,
they head back to the kitchen. Want some milk with your cookies?
Please.
Link pours two glasses of milk and sits down next to Tracy. Ah, these cookies are delicious.
Glad you like them.
They head back into the living room. Want to go first?
No, I did my stocking first. It's your turn.
She hands Link a gift. He opens it to reveal an iPod and its cords. How did you know this was the thing I wanted most?
You always ask to borrow mine when you go to your grandmother's for your weekly Sunday dinner.
Link hands Tracy a gift. She opens it to reveal a very sexy pair of blue lingerie.
Linky, you're such a naughty boy.
I know, but I couldn't resist. Tracy hands Link a box. He opens it to reveal a watch. How did you know I needed a new watch?
Well, you have been late picking me up lately.
Now I won't be.
I know.
Link hands Tracy a package. She opens it to reveal an expensive necklace.
Linky, you sure know how to treat me like a princess.
You deserve to be treated that way, Angel. Are you ready to have sex?
Let me slip into my lingerie first.
All right. Want me to put on some makeout music and light some candles to set the mood?
Please.
They exit.
Yeah. Prolific. J-Flex.
The scene goes to Link's room. Link is seen laying under the covers. There's makeout music playing and lighted candles. Tracy pokes her head in the room.
Linky, are you ready?
Am I ever. Tracy enters. When Link sees her, he starts drooling.
Ooh, Papa like.
Good.
Tracy joins Link under the covers. Clothes are thrown to the floor. Condoms are put on. And Link climbs on top of Tracy. And they begin making out really heavily.
Link is soon bored.
And he starts to nibble on Tracy's breast, causing her to whimper. As this happens, BB walks by.
Oh. My. God.
She puts her hand over her mouth and exits. As this happens, Link starts nibbling on Tracy's neck.
Ouch.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Here, let me kiss it for you.
Thanks.
Link kisses Tracy's neck, making her giggle, so he does it again. After this, Tracy rolls over so that she is on top.
Oh, Linky, this is so romantic.
Glad you like it. She kisses Link's chest, and they continue their makeout session.
Can we stop for today?
Sure. So how did you enjoy it?
It's become my new favorite part of dating you.
Glad you enjoyed it.
I really need to get home for dinner.
Alright. Night, sexy.
Night, handsome.
Tracy exits. As this happens, BB enters.
Link, we need to have a talk.
Alright.
I saw you and Tracy going at it earlier, and I thought you lovebirds had more sense than what I saw.
Relax, Mom. We used protection.
That's good to know. But you shouldn't have forced Tracy to do it.
She was ready for it, too. In fact, she brought up the subject.
You get an award for first fanfic of the night to bring me to tears.
Oh, me too. Tracy, is it wrong that I have an erection now? I thought the hairspray music at the beginning in the back was a good choice. The other two choices maybe were a little inappropriate, but oh my gosh.
No. You know what? The music that was playing during the makeout scene, mm-hmm. that music was perfect and completely what I believe the person who wrote this would play during a makeout session.
Well, as long as you feel like...
That's all I'm going to say in defense of that.
Your delivery of the words, the line smooch session was really funny. I don't know what it was. Also, I like how BB sounds exactly like his impersonation of my mom. That's like his mom voice.
Oh my god!
Oh goodness. Alright, so overall, what did you think?
I enjoyed this overall.
I enjoyed it too, but was it...
I think my only problem is that when Link and Tracy were in the middle of making out and stuff, like, when they would come in and actually say words, they didn't sound any different than when they were just talking to each other earlier on. That is my... I don't know, what's your... You sound like you had a complaint.
Like, I really enjoyed it, but I almost feel like this was a little bit too, I don't know. Tongue-in-cheek. I don't know. I enjoyed it, like, so much to listen to. I'm just wondering, like, if the author, how the author would feel about this. Because it was almost like You were kind of taking the piss out of this the whole time you were reading it. But it was really enjoyable.
I thought your narrator's voice was sexy, by the way. I just needed to say
I thought
that.
Your Tracy voice was sexy.
Well, he is very good at female voices.
I don't know. The Latin music you had going was kind of odd as well.
I like how much... Okay, I think one of the things that I maybe don't agree with was... practically every time Link would talk, he spoke like this. Papa lied. What else did he say?
For you, baby.
It's all right. Let me kiss it for you. Just like everything he said.
I got condoms.
But...
He sounded like a cheesy 70s, porn star or something. This one probably made me lol more than any of the other ones tonight. I think out of the ones we've heard so far, you probably did the author the least amount of justice. So, I don't know. It's a tough call for me. It's kind of like the way I felt about Rye Guys last week. His was my favorite, but I was iffy about the parameters of the challenge that he stuck in.
Right.
But, was so enjoyable.
I don't know. This is the first... I don't think even any of them last season brought me to tears.
That Backstreet Boys one last season did. This is like... I was thinking reading this, this is like the Backstreet Boys one last season for me. This is the one I'm probably going to remember.
yeah.
For better or for worse.